want to welcome you here this morning. All of you that might be visiting with us, welcome to Church on the North Coast. And if you'd like to register out at our concierge desk, that'd be great, so we can know that you were here and follow up with your particular visit and minister to you and your family. That would be our interest. That would be our goal. Well, happy Palm Sunday, everybody. Hallelujah. And I want to say a special welcome to Vince and Lisa, and little Kennedy is here. They moved some time ago to North Carolina, and they're home just visiting family. So we want to say welcome back. Good to see you guys. And Cynthia, it's your birthday today, right? Cynthia Smallwood, is that right? She's in kids' church this morning. Well, anybody else having a birthday this morning? We have a special gift for you. It's a hand clap. Amen. Happy birthday if you're having a birthday. Hey, birthdays are special, you know. God knew and ordained that you'd be born for such a time as this. And this is a powerful time, I'm telling you. Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to look at verses 1 through 11, but I'm not going to read all of those because there's so much that is in there. I want to just look at let's start at verse 6. Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to begin verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that everything that Jesus did in his 3.5 years of ministry, the feeding of the 5,000, that day in Jerusalem when they shouted, Hosanna, the day that he opened up blind eyes, it really didn't matter. The moment that he spoke with the woman at the well, there was this impending shadow of a cross over his life. The cross went before him from the moment he broke his mother's womb. You see, without this week, Holy Week, there would be no church. There would be no possibility of personal transformation. There would be no increase. There would be no prosperity in life. There would be no promise of forgiveness of our sin. You see, this week is so significant in the lives of those of us who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that he deserves all of our praise. And we ought to celebrate the King of Kings and Lord of Lords this morning. Come on, lift up your voice and celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. He is worthy of all of our praise this morning. Glory be to God. You see, as he entered Jerusalem that Palm Sunday, he challenged everything that you and I will ever have to face in our life. That Palm Sunday, he faced and confronted the challenges that you and I will have to face in our lives. And I know that a group this size, there's more than likely people here this morning that are facing some significant challenges in your life. You're facing some challenges that appear to be overwhelming to you, appear to be as though that they are going to defeat you. But just like Jesus coming into Jerusalem and having to confront the powers and principalities of the air, I want you to know that he conquered every one of them. And because he conquered them, you too will conquer what is confronting you today. Can I get an amen? I want you to know that this is a powerful gospel. This is a gospel of conquering. So no matter what it is that's confronting you today, be encouraged because Jesus has gone before you and has won the victory. Why don't you lift your hand right there and bless the Lord, because he is a God that is able to conquer. He is a God that is able to give the victory. Hallelujah. He has courage to confront the things in life that many people run from. You know, many people today run from challenges. They run from conflicts. They run to a bottle, or they run to drugs or promiscuous lifestyle. Maybe they run to some philosophy and tradition of men. Some even run to religion. But today, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem that day has given us the courage to be able to confront the conflicts and the challenges and the strongholds in our life, not with the things of this world, not with even man-made religion, but with the power of a living God that is in our hearts. You see, in Matthew chapter 21, in verse 10, the Bible says this, that when he entered Jerusalem, all the city became agitated and said, "Who is this?" When he entered into Jerusalem, they became agitated. Now, while the streets were filled with hosannas, while the streets were filled with praises unto God, behind the scenes, everybody say behind the scenes. See, sometime everybody, you know, your life might look like you've got all your ducks in a row. You may think everything is coming up roses and going your way, but behind the scenes, there were those that have gathered together strategizing how they might put to death this Christ. But Jesus was aware. Jesus understood that he was facing the sin of the world. And no matter how things appeared on the streets behind the scenes, they plotted, they strategized to destroy him. You know, today when I got up out of bed, I rejoiced in the God of my salvation. I rejoiced in the fact that Jesus knows my name. I rejoiced over the fact that God's got all things under control. And I even began to declare that he said this was a good day. So I said, "Lord, I'm going to start looking for the good. I'm not going to pay much attention and give much mind to the bad or the negative. I know that there's negative in this world. As long as there's people, as long as there's the unregenerate people in this world, even those that are born again, there's going to be negative. But I've focused on the positive. I've declared and decreed in my life that today is going to be a great day. I'm looking for the miraculous. I'm looking for the provision of God to be revealed. I'm looking for the curtains to be pulled back and for God to say, 'Look what I've prepared just for you.'" See, I really believe that even though I have that mentality, I am not naive enough to believe that there are not strategies that are being formed, even as I stand here before you, to try to bring destruction to my life, to try to bring a quick end to my marriage, to try to take over and conquer the minds of my children, to somehow steal, kill, and destroy all that God has tried to give to me. But I've got confidence today. I've got a confidence about me, not by my own self, because in myself I can do nothing. But I've got confidence in a Savior who is able to ride into Jerusalem and confront the stratagems of hell and defeat them and conquer them. And the songwriter said, "Because he lives, I can live also. Because he's overcome, I am an overcomer." Tap somebody around you and say, "You're sitting next to an overcomer this morning." I like to look at that triumphal entry of Jesus as an encouragement to my life. I like to look at it as an impetus in my own understanding to say, it doesn't really matter what the strategies are. It doesn't really matter what the devil's planning in the boardroom of hell at this very moment. Because I know that Jesus was able to confront it. And because he confronted it and conquered it, then I'm also able to confront it and conquer it. Because I read somewhere in the Bible that he has made me to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You see, I found out something when I read the Bible. You see, it's almost like Jesus was baiting the religious leaders to come out of the shadows. It was almost as though he was baiting all of the strategies of hell to show up. "Come on, let's hit the streets. Come on, I'm ready to confront you. Let's have a cosmic showdown right here in Jerusalem." When you think about that, Jesus was pretty confident about who he was. I mean, Jerusalem was a hostile city. It was a hostile city. It was a city known to be killing the prophets and those that had gone before. It was a city that stoned the prophets. And here came Jesus riding in on a colt, making a proclamation. "I just want you to know that I am the Son of God." I mean, he was so bold as to confront those who would try to bring him down. Can I give you an encouragement today? Don't tuck tail and run. Don't coil up in a little ball. Don't take a fetal position when you're finding yourself in a difficult place. Call upon Jesus, the God that is able to do for you what you can't do for yourself. To know that if Jesus has got the power and the courage to confront hostility in His life, then we in Christ have the same authority, have the same power to be able to look right at those situations in the face and say, because Jesus has risen from the dead and He's alive in me, I am able to overcome this circumstance that I'm faced with. You know, too often we as Christians become intimidated. We almost are made to feel inferior. We're almost made to feel as though we're ignorant. We're uneducated. We don't understand the philosophies of the Greek and Roman mind that rule the 21st century world. Listen to me, I am not under the philosophies and traditions of a Greek and Roman mentality. I live as a result of the kingdom of God and the principles of that king. And now I live and move and have my being according to His dictates. And even though I'm in the world, I'm not of the world. And somehow I'm like that square peg trying to be driven into a round hole, and it just doesn't fit. Look at somebody and say, I don't fit here. I don't fit here. You see, this world is not my home. I think we're putting too much effort into a place that's too temporary. You know, I recall as a young man being married, we moved from house to house. We bought our first home. It was $19,000. We thought we'd never be able to pay $19,000. People buy cars for twice that amount today. But that was the price of our first home. Listen to this, our house payment was $83 a month. We thought $83 a month, my God, we'll never make that payment. How will we do it? Tina said we need to redo the backyard, so I stripped all the grass, planted new grass. Need to put up a fence for the kids. Okay, I built a nice wooden fence. She said we need a pool, so we saved up and bought a little above-ground pool. Got the backyard looking real nice. Ran electricity to the garage. We fixed up the inside of the house, and then she said, you know what? I think we ought to sell the house and move. I found this piece of property out in the country. Wouldn't it be great to get a couple of acres of property and we could move out there and just enjoy life, have some chickens and, you know, just be some country folk. And I mean, we had a chicken crib. We had chicken, we had eggs in the morning. It was great. I mean, it was like, I don't know what it was like, but anyway, it was different. But we got out there and pretty soon we're fixing up the yard and we're fixing up the basement. And I'm starting to think, you know what? There's a pattern to her thinking. I got a feeling we're not going to be here very long. Why am I putting all this effort into a place that I'm not going to be very long? But our payment jumped from $83 to $318 a month. We said $318 a month, my goodness, we're going to die. We're going to starve. There's no way that we can pay that. How many would like a $318 a month house payment? Out in the country, 2.5 acres, about 3,300 square feet. I had a family room that was 16 by 32 with a stone fireplace. $318 a month. Take me back, Jesus. Oh, my God. Woo! But I found out something, that it's temporary. And I want to encourage us today to stop putting so much effort into a life that is temporary. Things that are going to change, that are subject to change. We put all this worry, we put all this anxiety, we put all of this talk and this effort into situations that come up. Listen to me, those situations may be confronting you today, but don't focus on what's confronting you. Focus on He who confronted that issue long time ago on a hill called Calvary and overcame it. And because He overcame, you can overcome as well. Can you say amen this morning? You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of strongholds." See, I don't have to war according to my strength and my life. I have a higher dimension of authority. And I've got to begin to tap in to that higher dimension of authority. I need to remember what Ephesians 6:12 tells me, that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against those the powers and spirits, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly sphere. I need to keep my focus on the main thing. I need to remember that it's not my boss, or it's not my children, or it's not my next door neighbor. I need to realize that there is a strategy that has been planned to try to defeat me. But I'm undefeatable. I am a person who has already got the victory. How can you be defeatable if God calls you more than a conqueror? You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's a matter of choice. And what you choose to believe today is going to create the thoughts that will alter your behavior, that will take you to the level of victory. And I choose to believe today that Jesus Christ has already given me the victory. Amen? That we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. See, Jesus had the courage to face his enemies. He had courage for living. He had courage to stand firm in the face of compromise. You know, this is a world of compromise today. This is an age of compromise, political correctness. Amazingly, we can, of course, blaspheme the things of Jesus Christ, and it's not an issue. But say a word about Allah, or say a word about some other individual running for office, you know, and all of a sudden, everyone is up in ire. But it's almost acceptable to be able to ridicule and mock the things of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, do not compromise your walk with God. Do not cash in to the status quo and the majority of people, even Christians today, who are compromising their stand because they want to be accepted. Listen, there's only one that I'm continually looking to be accepted by, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not like me, and that's all right. I've finally come to learn that not everybody's going to like me. You know, that took me a while to feel that way because I thought I'm so likable. Everybody will like me. But I found out that not everybody will like. Matter of fact, not everybody will love me. As a matter of fact, there will be some people who downright dislike me. There'll be others who will talk about me and will even hate me. Think of that. I can't hardly imagine why. But you see, we have to understand something about where we are going. We are not about to compromise what we believe just to get people to like us. Just to get people to accept us. And church on the North Coast and churches in Northeastern Ohio, let us maintain our convictions upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the eternal Word of God, and let man believe what man wants to believe. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Come on, give God some praise in here this morning. Hallelujah. You see, it's time for us to travel to the Valley of Elah. It's time for us to confront our Goliaths. It's time to bring them to the valley and have the courage to confront them. Some of us are ruled by family members and their ideologies. Some of us are ruled and dictate to us, and we compromise by the pressures of those of us on the job. There are others who have begun to be ruled by temperament and by past hurt and experiences in life. We allow these things to pretty much create our futures for us. Some of us are even ruled by our past failures. But I want to encourage you today, because Jesus Christ had the power to confront those who were trying to destroy him and come out victorious, you and I have the power to confront these issues and to be able to take the Word of God and be able to destroy them and defeat them on every side. Can you say amen today? Amen. It's time that we stop acting like Israel on that day, who dressed up in armament and who faced the Philistines and had to listen to the intimidations of Goliath every day as he said, "Send over a man." But nobody would move. They were dressed for battle, but they weren't engaged in battle. I'm going to have to tell you sometime at some point in your life, if you're going to overcome, you're going to have to do more than just getting dressed for church on Sunday. You got to do more than just getting dressed for battle. You're going to have to engage in battle. Are you ready for engagement? And you have to confront that Goliath. Thank God there was a David. Thank God there was a young boy who believed God, who was a worshiper of God, who was a man who walked after the heart of God, who when he saw this intimidation was able to declare, "Is there not a cause in Israel? Is there not somebody who will do this?" And let me tell you something. David confronted Goliath. And we know the story how Goliath was utterly defeated. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 9, those that followed him kept shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Number one, you have to have the courage to confront the issues in your life that you're facing today. Some of us have to get courage to confront the character flaws that we've learned to live with. God's given you the ability to overcome them. Confront addictions and overcome them. Confront your anger and overcome them. But not only do we have the courage to confront, but we need to begin to claim our fame. Look at somebody and say, "Claim your fame." Oh, you didn't know you were famous, did you? Okay, all right. You didn't know you were famous. You're someone, "Nobody knows my name." Honey, let me tell you something. The moment that you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and all of heaven knows your name. You may not be famous in this world, but you are famous in that world. You are famous in glory. You got to learn how to claim your fame. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "That's right, I'm the Son of David. That's right, I'm the King of Kings. That's right, I'm the Lord of Lords." He sat upon that colt. He made his entrance into Jerusalem that day. What was he proclaiming? He was proclaiming the rituals of the king, of one to be ordained, one that would be set in office. He said, "That's right, I'm taking my rightful place. I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords." Yeah. You know, some of us have an identity crisis. You might have heard of that identity theft problem. Recently, TJ Maxx and Marshalls, those of you that go to that store, and my wife owns stock in that store, I think. But anyway, they stole 45 million credit card numbers, somebody did. And I thought, well, I'm glad mine isn't part of that 45 million because I'm just blessed, so I don't have to worry about that. But they people like to steal others' identity. And did you ever see those commercials when it's a guy and it's talking like a girl and a girl and he's talking like a guy? And isn't that weird? That's kind of like, whoa, that is freaky. People like to steal others' identity and use their credit. Can I tell you something? That the devil wants to steal your identity? That we are a church today that is confused about who we are and what power we possess and where we're going and what authority we have on this earth? Listen, the devil has stolen our identity, but we need to come back to it. We need to claim our fame. We need to come back and say, no, you have to understand something, devil. I am all that God said I am. I am above and not beneath. I am the victor. I'm not the victim. I just want you to know that. See, you've got to put a claim to your identity in Christ. You know, it was Jesus. He refused to accept what others proclaimed him to be. I don't know what you proclaim Jesus Christ to be today. But as we read in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 16, he was talking to his disciples at Caesarea Philippi, and he asked them the question, "Who do men say that I am?" Notice he wanted to know what men say. He didn't say, "Who do the heavenly say? Who does my Father say I am?" He doesn't say, "What does the Word say that I am?" He wanted to know who men say that I am, because that's what they were wrestling with. They were trying to be identified by what others say. Can I help you with something this morning? Do not let what other people say identify you and define you, but only allow what God says and what the Word of God says to identify you and define you. Some of you have been defined by the color of your skin. Some of you have been defined by your gender. Some of you have been defined by the fact of your education levels and your attainments of success. Listen to me. Don't let man define you, but let God define you and begin to describe who you are. And you say, well, some say you're Elias. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're one of the prophets. He said, yeah, okay, that's out there. But who do you say that I am? And Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And see, that's the only way you can claim your fame, is you've got to get up underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You've got to get anointed. And he said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Your true identity cannot be revealed by flesh and blood. Your true identity has to be revealed through the intimacy formed with the Holy Spirit. My family tried to identify me as one born out of wedlock. Tried to identify me as one they would call the B word. You see, that stuck for a while. But I understood something about what Jesus said about my life. That for such a time as this was I birthed on the earth. It doesn't matter how you got here, honey, you're here. You say, well, I got here and it's not socially acceptable. Well, that's all right. Don't worry about it. Some say, yeah, but you don't understand. I'm born on the wrong side of the tracks. Well, let's just flip-flop it this morning in the Spirit. Let's put them on the wrong side and you on the right side. Who's to say that's the wrong side anyway? What did God say about the side that you're on? Don't listen to what man have to say. Some say, well, you know, my ethnicity, if I just wasn't so dark, if I wasn't so fat, if I wasn't so tall, if I wasn't so chalky white, if I wasn't so, I don't know what I am, I'm kind of a mixture, I'm a half breed. If I wasn't a half breed, I wish I'd have been whiter, I wish I'd have been black. My God, they had to make me half and half. What is this? I know you don't like me talking about that stuff, but let me tell you something. The world will try to put an identification on you and try to define you. But listen, who do men say that I am? No. I don't care who men say that I am. I want you to know who God says that I am. I am mighty in the Holy Ghost. I am a conqueror in Jesus Christ. I am victorious in Jesus. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm a prophet of God. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm a worshiper of Jesus. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm prosperous in all things because of God. Care what you say? Well, you know that preacher over there, you know. That preacher over there, you know. No, I don't know. And neither do you. I don't care what they say about me. Well, you know, he's like Jeremiah Elias thing. No, you don't know. You're trying to define something that cannot be defined by the rudiments of this world. You cannot define. Don't let them define you by the things of this world. I don't care how young you are. You say, well, I'm just too young. No, you're not. You're not too young. You say, well, I'm too old. This is what old people do. I'm going to break the mold on old. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm breaking the mold on old. I don't care. I know I'm not that old yet, but I'm getting there. And I'm telling you right now, I'm breaking the mold. I'm going to be hip. I'm going to be like that Coca-Cola machine. That Coca-Cola thing. You know, you see that commercial, that Coca-Cola guy. He's sitting in a nursing home. And a lady comes and says, would you like a Coca-Cola? He said, I ain't never had one. And he drinks a Coca-Cola and he goes, gets on the phone, calls up his girlfriend from the high school, said, I've always loved you. You see that? Next thing, he's jumping out of an airplane. and it closes with him on a motorcycle. Yeah, he's getting some tattoos on his arm. And the guy with the beard and all the tattoos goes, nice. Look at somebody and say, break the mold. Come on, break the mold. Come out of your shell. Come on, tell somebody, come out of your shell. Come on, be yourself. Come on, be who God made you to be. Claim your fame. I'm famous. Yeah, but we don't even know who you are. No, that's all right. I'm not worried about here. I'm famous in heaven. Amen. Are you famous in heaven this morning? Amen. You are. You're famous in heaven. So you got to get the attitude of one who rules. The attitude of one who rules. Don't walk around all hunched over. Straighten up your shoulders. Get a little stride in your walk. If all you can do is just learn 3 new vocabulary words, use them. Act like you know them all. Be crazy enough to believe God for stupid things. Why are you believing that? You're just... I'm not just anything. Jesus claimed his fame. And he confronted, had the courage to confront. And lastly, he had the ability to captivate people. He captivated my heart. Myron, you're here this morning. Where are you? You were on the screens earlier. How'd you do that? You're down back here. That's cool. That testimony is powerful. Jesus, when you were in 5th or 6th grade, captivated your heart. He took you captive, man, and he hadn't let go since. And I love his testimony. He'll captivate you too. Some of you are in this room this morning, and you don't have courage to live. I mean, really live. And you've never really claimed your fame. You've let others identify who you are and what you'll never be. But there's one here today who is ready to captivate you and draw you from where you've been living. You see, Matthew 21 and verse 9 tells us the crowds acknowledged he was the Savior of humanity. For that brief moment, before the crowd went wild and declared, crucify him, he captivated them. You know, that happens so often in church services. People get captivated by the presence of God. And we'll declare things like every head bowed and every eye closed. And those that want to know Christ as their personal Savior, uplift your hand quickly now and they'll do it. And they'll come forward and they'll be prayed for. They're captivated for a moment. But then something happens inside. They make a decision. Did you know that I got up this morning, Pastor Wiley, I had to decide to be saved today. Because I could have made a decision to not be saved today. I almost told my wife, I said, I don't want to go to church today. Call somebody else to preach. She said, why not? I don't know, I just want to be ornery. You know, I have that right to make that decision. I have a choice. You have to choose whether you will be saved or not. And I've decided. I've decided that he's real. That God is real. He captivated my heart. 1974. I could tell my story too, Myron. Every one of us have a story, don't we? When he captivated our hearts. And from that very moment, I surrendered myself to him and I said, God, I want to serve you. And the next day I woke up and he was there again. He was there. I remember for the first time in my life, I started thinking about Jesus. It was like, this is weird. I got Jesus on the mind. And I said, okay, I'm going to serve you again today.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I said, all right, I'm going to serve you again today. And then a few more days, yes, yes, a few more months, yes, yes, a few more years, yes, yes, yes. And now 30-some years later, I'm still saying yes to Jesus. Did you say yes to Him this morning? You see, if you haven't said yes to Him this morning, then do it now. Because you and I have to make a decision every day of our lives. Some people think, you know, go to a little church service, get a little emotional, say yes to God, walk away, and go back to your life. If you're really captivated by Jesus, the crowds acknowledged He was the Son of the living God. But He wasn't looking for a kingly throne. He was looking for the throne of our hearts. He's not looking for you to build Him some temple, for you to somehow jump through all religious hoops, keep all the rules. He's looking to sit on the throne of your heart. Can you imagine that day? Palm branches were being laid before Him. And He was riding upon that colt. And He heard the shouts of the people. How He must have yearned to captivate their heart one by one. How He must have yearned to sit on the throne of their hearts. He wasn't looking for the allegiance of subjects. He was looking for the appeal of friendship. Friends, this thing called the kingdom of God has gone haywire. What have we done to this message? How have we encased it in stained glass, candle lightings and rituals? How have we done that in such short few years after His resurrection? He wasn't looking for political support. He was looking for personal devotion. And that's what He's looking for today. The King of Peace captivates. And then changes us. See, you are not what your past says you are. Because He changes our lives if we'll receive Him into our hearts. It was a woman. Matter of fact, the story was she had 7 demons. Can you imagine that? Her name was Mary Magdalene. She was a woman that was tormented in life. Oh, she was just one in the crowd. She was there in Jerusalem that day. But she was captivated by His presence. And suddenly, that which ruled her could no longer rule. Because there was a new ruler who had come into her heart. From that very moment, we read through Scripture her personal devotion to Christ. And oh, how Hollywood has tried to malign that. We've seen from the moment that she received Him and was captivated by Him, how He sat on the throne of her heart and became friends with God. One of the greatest stories is of the young boy in John chapter 9. You may remember the story. He was born blind. And all the religious rulers were trying to figure out, okay, did he sin? Did his parents sin? You know, religion always wants to define it by something that we haven't done. Don't let them tell you what you haven't done. Listen to the Holy Spirit and let Him tell you what He has done.
And suddenly, he could see. Hallelujah. Jesus wanted his personal devotion. Jesus wanted to sit on the throne of his heart. And boy, did it create controversy. They were ready to excommunicate him from the church. They were ready to excommunicate his parents. But it's because of a person who cried out and said, "Captivate my heart, Jesus." This religious leader, he was filled with such rage and such hatred, such anger. The Bible says that he encouraged others to kill Christians. His name was Saul. And on the road to Damascus, he had heard that there was a group of those in the way that were gathering together to praise Jesus and to share their faith with others. He massed a large army and with the authority of man in his hand, began to pursue them. And his goal, just like there at the foot of Stephen's stoning, encouraging others to destroy life. When suddenly, Jesus captivated his heart. He knocked off of his horse, there looking up into the heavens. He was blinded by the glory of God. And he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. A murderer, a woman possessed of devils, a young boy that was born blind. And I'll never forget this story in the Bible of a young girl tormented of demons, thrown down and mutilated by them, and a mother who came and said, "Jesus, do something for my daughter. She's in great peril." And he said, "I can't do it for you. You are a Gentile. You aren't even part of the Jewish race." And she began to make an appeal to him with her worship. She began to make an appeal to him and said, "Listen, even the dogs, the little dogs, are worthy of taking the few crumbs on the floor. Could you just give me a little crumb?" And Jesus was so moved. He was captivated by her. Have you moved him? Has he moved you? See, that's what Christianity is all about. It's not rites, observances, ceremonies. It's being moved by the presence of a living God. And God being moved by our own personal devotion and our love. Do you love him? I love him because I know where he brought me from. Why would you even speak to her, Jesus? The disciples, they had gone on to get some food in the city. And when they came back, there he was, talking to the woman at the well. A Samaritan. Listen to this. Had been married 6 or 7 times. Can't keep no relationships going. Was religious, but had no relationship. Evident in her own personal life. And Jesus said, "Drink of this water, and you'll never thirst again." He captivated her heart. And suddenly she ran back to the town and told everybody who she had met. You see, in the crowds of Jerusalem that day, there were many people who had to make a decision. Would their hosannas turn into crucifixions? Or would their hosannas turn into greater hosannas? And in a crowd like this morning, you're going to have to make a decision as well. I'm going to have to make a choice. Will my hosannas remain true? Or will I shout, "Crucify him"? And in that crowd that day, there was just one little girl crying out and said, "Jesus, could you take my hand?" You say, "You know, I don't understand, Pastor. Why is it that Jesus said, unless you become like little children. Little children, it's amazing how they'll put their hand in your hand and be confident about your direction. It's amazing what our hands grow up to do. They're born so innocent. I look at my grandchildren here on the front row. I look at little Bruce. Their hands are so innocent. But suddenly these hands begin to stray from innocence. And I want you to know this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that no matter what your hands have found to do and what they have done to others, there's still a hand being reached down from heaven to captivate your heart. Look with me on these screens, please, as we view this timely video. With me, Father. This morning we think of our own hands and we think of what has captivated us in this world. We think of, oh God, the fear and not courage that we've lived under. Many of us have felt so insignificant and inferior, and to claim our fame seems like it's the furthest thing from our minds. But today we're thankful that you want to come and live in our hearts. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have forgiven us, that your hand is extended to us today, and we're overwhelmed by that. We can't hardly imagine why you would want to take this hand that's abused, this hand that had abandoned, this hand that lost control or didn't finish the job, this hand, oh God, that has committed those errors. Why would you want to put that in your hand that knew no sin? We're overwhelmed by your love and your mercy today. We're just asking you, Jesus, if you could forgive me. You could truly forgive me, then I'm going to lift my hand to you. All across this room, with nobody looking around, you say, Pastor, I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to experience the love of God. I want to experience His forgiveness. Then I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you right now to take your hand and lift it up to heaven and hold it there for just a minute. Would you do that? Thank you. Others, just hold it up high enough so I can see it. Thank you. Over there, thank you. Over here as well. Thank you over there. God bless you. You can put that hand down. And while our heads are bowed, I want everybody to understand something, that there's no hand here that is clean. There's no hand here that is free from error. Every one of our hands have become tainted and polluted by sin. But when you put your hand in the hand of Jesus, He'll change you. So maybe you didn't respond the first time. And if you already did, don't do it a second. But you'll say, Pastor, I want to put my hand in Jesus' hand. I want to receive the forgiveness of God. I didn't do it the first time, but I know I need to do it now. Would you pray for me? Lift it up high so I can see it. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you that you didn't do it the first time, but now you know you are. Thank you. Thank you. You can put those hands down. Thank you over there as well. Thank you so much. Thank you. Sometimes our hands find things to do that even shock ourselves. And we think, how can I be free? It almost has a mind of its own. It rules me. But if you invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life, He will rule it through the power of the Holy Spirit. One last time, if you already raised that hand, you don't have to do it again. But as I was making this appeal the first time, you avoided it. The second time, you avoided it, but your heart is palpitating and you know that God's dealing with you. And you say, I've got to reach up to Jesus Christ this morning. I can't keep fighting it. I've got to ask Him to forgive me. This is my last appeal. And I'm asking you to do it right now. If you have not done it up until this point, hold your hand up to Jesus right now. All over this room. Is there one more? Thank you. Anyone else? Quickly, just hold it up. Thank you. I appreciate that so much. Way over on the side as well. I didn't see that hand, but thank you, ushers. All right. Everybody look up at me for a moment, please. Here's what we're going to do. It's a simple thing. We're going to ask altar ministers to come. And these are people that just love you and want to pray with you. So if you'd stand across the front right now, all the altar ministers, they're just going to stand across the front. Now you're going to notice there's guys and there's girls that are coming up here. And if you're a girl, I want you to find a girl in a moment. And if you're a guy, I want you to find one of the gentlemen. And here's what we want to do. We just want to pray with you. We want to pray with you a prayer of faith out of Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you could be saved. Saved from what? You know, so many people say hell and sin and all that, and that's true. But I like to say saved from myself. I think I was my biggest culprit. But this is what it means. You go to the cross and you die to self and you receive Christ and His new life. So right now I'm going to ask, when we stand, every person that raised your hand, please, you have courage to confront. You have your claim to fame because He's captivated your heart, right? So I want you to move from where you are. So the minute we stand up, and all of you that are going to stand, you're going to look around at somebody with me and you're going to say, listen, if you raise your hand, I'll go with you. Because we sometimes need extra courage, don't we? Sometimes we don't have enough courage. Sometimes we need somebody else's courage. Are you ready, church? One, two, three. Let's all stand up. Look at somebody. Come on, like right now. I want you to come from where you're standing. If you raise your hand, take them by the hand. Bring them to Jesus Christ. Bring them to this altar right now. And let Jesus Christ change their life forevermore. Because God's love is present in this place right now. Come on. If you raise your hand, come on. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Come on. If you raise your hand, I want you to do it right now. Go ahead and worship, if you will. Sing a song. Thank you, Lord.
Your laughter, come on. It echoes.
That's awesome. Come on. This is your moment. This is your moment. Did you ask somebody if they need courage? Did you ask somebody if they need some extra courage? Come on, ask them and then take them by the hand. bring them to this altar. This is their moment of change. This is their moment of destiny. This is when their life will never be the same again, because God is in this place. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. They're coming. Come on, ushers. Help them out. Very good. Come on over here on the side as well, right behind you, Hector. Yeah.
I cannot look away. I cannot look away.
Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. Come on.
Captivated by you.
Are you captivated by him?
I am captivated by you. May my life be one unbroken gaze, fixed upon the beauty of your face.
Isn't this wonderful, church? Isn't this awesome to see all these people up here? I think it's awesome. Heaven's rejoicing right now. Heaven's rejoicing. Sing it one more time. Come on.
Beholding is becoming. So you fill my gaze.
Come on, worship
I
Jesus.
More like you and my heart is changed. Beholding is becoming. So you fill my view, transform me into the likeness of you. This is what I ask for all my days, that I may never look away, never look away.
Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice.
May my life be one unbroken gaze, fixed upon your beauty, fixed upon your beauty. No other could ever be as beautiful. No other could ever steal my heart.
Just
can't look away.
Make a decision today, right now. Everybody in this room, come on, make a decision to serve Jesus. Say, I'm going to serve you all my heart today, Lord. I'm not going to look to the right or the left. I'm going to be captivated by you and you only. Not the things of this world, not of my past, but just you, Jesus.
One unbroken gaze, fixed upon the beauty, fixed upon the beauty, fixed upon the beauty of your grace.
One last time, every head bowed, please. You say, Pastor, I thought I was already out. I thought the service was over. But God's still dealing with me, and I've not come forward, and I know that I need to rededicate my life to Christ. See, this is somebody that already knows Christ, but you've really not been living for him. You've been living for yourself, for this world. But this morning you'll say, you know what? I need to make a recommitment to Christ. I'm just going to ask you right now to get out from where you're standing. Please, come to the front. Right here in the middle, one of our elders is here, Elder Ernie. Others are waiting on you. We want to agree with you, and we want to pray with you, and we want to believe with you. This is the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life, and that is to go back to Jesus Christ. All right? It's the most important decision that you'll ever make. How many know that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God? Amen? Amen. On this Friday, we have a tremendous Good Friday service planned for you. The Jews for Jesus will be here. We're actually going to depict this Passover Supper. They're going to do right out of the book of Exodus. You're going to see all the ingredients mentioned in the book of Exodus, and they're going to tell you about the significance of each piece and how it points to Jesus Christ. So it's going to be a powerful time. It's going to culminate with communion. It starts at 7 p.m. on Friday night. Then on no Thursday night service. That's right. So only Friday. Then Saturday morning at 10 a.m. I'm telling you, if you have not come to one of our morning prayer meetings, they are so anointed. 10 to 11 is powerful. I'm telling you, it's changing my life. And then we have Joshua Kids afterwards. We have outreaches and ministries that you can get involved with. And then next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Now, we're putting together a special choreographed, dramatized video special sermon. And it's titled, I Believe. Bring an unsaved loved one with you, our friend. Let me tell you something. We're going to deal from the life of Peter, how Peter was transformed from unbelief to great belief. Then we have a skit. We have all kinds of neat things intertwined in this message. It's going to be dynamic. I think people are really going to receive from it. So that's next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock only. We only have one service scheduled. We may have to get some more chairs out for next week, but that's all right. That's a good thing, huh? Amen. Do you love Jesus with all your heart, soul, and your might, and your strength, and your neighbor as yourself? Well, then live right, love everybody, and pray hard. We'll see you next time around. If you want to come in forward and worship, or you need prayer, we want to invite you to do that right now as we continue to worship. Go ahead and sing. Come on, we can continue to worship Jesus. Yeah. All right. We bless you, Lord.
Say that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.